Welcome, everybody. This is the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, May 1st. I gotta tell ya, Sean's not here in the studio. I don't know what this is like 3 weeks in a row now, right, Tracy?
I think he got arrested.
Everybody, they leave me behind, but that's okay. I've got backup. We have Ian in the studio. Hi, Ian.
Hello.
I'm Ian.
There he is. So I've got somebody to talk to, and of course Tracy's always here to back me up.
Except for last week.
Yeah. Except for last week. Everyone's bailing on me. All right. So I want to let everybody know, if you want to call into the show and chat with us about whatever, call 602-277-KFNX. That's if you're in the Phoenix area. If you're listening on the internet, you can just look at our website at chatterboxgameshow.com, and there's an 800 number for you to call toll-free anywhere from the U.S. Now, one thing I'd like you to call in about, we're going to play something later in the show that, you know, I felt a real connection to when I heard it, and it talks about a game geek, right, and at one defining point in his life when he realized what liking games really meant, at least in society. And so when I was a kid, I felt really shunned for playing games, or at least nerdy for doing it, which hopefully a lot of you did as well, because then I would feel a connection.
I did.
So I want to know if anyone out there can think of a specific game, console, event, or anything like that that made gaming all of a sudden acceptable, because these days everybody can play games. I have my own opinion on this. I think it has something to do with Madden and sports games in general becoming huge. And also Hollywood sort of invading. And so as soon as the marketers made it a big thing and put their media and advertisements on TV and stuff, I think that made a big difference. How do you feel about the scene?
Yeah, I know for myself that, I pretty much just played games by myself. A lot of RPGs and stuff that really nobody else had any interest in.
And that's not even the stuff you see advertised on TV much. It's always the new Madden. You know, EA, or rather ESPN, made a huge deal, or had a huge deal by EA for the next Madden during the NFL draft last weekend. And, like, that's never happened before, right? And now we've got all sorts of movies and movies being turned into games and vice versa, games into movies and stuff. And that sort of thing, I think, is what created this acceptable gaming character, which would have been myself, right, if I lived 10 years later in life. Did you have this problem, Tracy?
No, in my neighborhood, it was cool. The cool kid had the Nintendo, had the Sega Genesis, because we had Mortal Kombat, and you had the Sega Genesis just because you wanted to play Mortal Kombat with the blood in it, not the Nintendo version that had no... You weren't cool if you had the Super Nintendo, because...
Yeah, but what about when you had Mario on the Nintendo?
In my neighborhood, it was... Maybe because I wasn't in a really rich neighborhood and only certain people had Nintendo, like I did, and another guy in my block did. No one else in the neighborhood.
You were rich.
Yeah, that's the way I was looked at. You're rich. Your parents got you a Nintendo. And then the older we got, the more kids got them because they were constantly over at my house playing, so their parents would end up buying them one. But it was never uncool in my neighborhood. Maybe when you got into high school, it might be. Because right around then, right after I graduated, that's when PlayStation 2 came out. So maybe during high school it was uncool, but not even really then. You wouldn't wear like a Nintendo t-shirt like you see everybody wearing shirts now. But yeah, I really think Madden had a lot to do with making it more mainstream. Because once you saw the athletes playing it on cribs and stuff, then, oh yeah, it's cool. But
I'm telling you, man, it's all about media.
Yeah.
See, you know what? Maybe what made it uncool to begin with was simply that the nerds, people like me, were the ones playing it. So because I was uncool, video games had to be, right?
Yeah, that could
it wasn't the other way around. I wasn't uncool because I played games. They were uncool because I played them.
And you kind of got to a point where the people that played them all the time, the quote-unquote nerds, were kicking your butt. So they can't be cool because the nerds are kicking your butt at them.
You know what? I would take great pride if that were the situation, because it would mean that... my desires and my choices had an effect on other people's lives. But fortunately, I'm not vain enough to believe that.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's really the case. Anyway, still, call in 602-277-KFNX. Maybe you had a defining point when you realized you should be playing games or shouldn't be playing games or whatever. But I want to hear these stories, so call in. Now, what I've been playing this week, I also like to start the show with, you know, what I've been playing. Psychonauts has been the new thing, but really, I also played like several hours of Halo 2 yesterday because of the new maps, right? Everybody's online right now. It's a big like family reunion of anybody you ever played with. They're probably online this week because of the new maps. And so that was sort of exciting. I get to play with people that I haven't played with in a long time. And Ian, you haven't played a lot of Halo 2, am I right?
Yeah, that's true. My roommate's the one with the Xbox.
You should be playing. For some reason, just avoid it?
Yeah, more because currently, what I really liked on the Xbox was Ninja Gaiden.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, so I got into that, and then Halo 2 was kind of like, yeah, that's the other game I could be playing, but I could be playing Ninja Gaiden.
Yeah, you're wrong. So you have to go home and play Halo 2 a lot, because it's been a lot of fun. I gotta tell you, the new maps, they're not all that exciting. I was hoping for a lot more. So first I got the free ones. I said, all right, these are cool, kind of. I like going back to, because one of them's a recreation from the first Halo, just with different graphics and sound and stuff. So I like that. That's Warlock. The other map, also actually pretty cool. And it was huge, though. And I normally don't play on huge maps because I don't like the team games. I prefer Slayer stuff where I just kill everybody. And that's better on a smaller map. So then I tried the paid maps. And they were really discouraging because they were lame and bland. And anyway, I haven't given them a whole lot of effort because they're not really... they're not built into the matchmaking service yet. None of the maps are, right? But since not everybody has the paid maps, you never really get to play with your group of people. So until they're built into matchmaking, we won't get a good feel for it. But one friend of mine says that the new paid maps actually are really good for the team games. So maybe I'll wait and see. I'll hold off on my opinions for later, but I'm not convinced that they're excellent yet. And if you ever go play it, you can pipe in and agree with me or disagree or whatever.
Yeah, just to find out if my roommate's still paying his Xbox Live subscription.
He doesn't have a yearly account?
Maybe he does. I should ask him about that.
Yeah,
it was there a year ago, huh?
From what you told me about your roommate, he probably wouldn't remember to turn it off, so I'm sure he still has it.
Yeah, it's a fair point.
Anyway, but I got to play Psychonauts some more instead of just the demo, and I still recommend it, although I haven't gone back to it a second time, but I did finally get to use one of the Psychonauts' powers, which was kind of neat. But it's actually more based around story than action. Like, PsyOps is all about using your psychic powers, right? And this one's all about... the storyline, and Tim Schafer, the guy who developed it, his games are usually about story, so I can understand that, but it's still a lot of fun. Anyway, we're going to play that bit that I said, so go to break. We'll be back in a few minutes. Make sure to check out chatterboxgameshow.com and call us at 602-277-KFNX. Here it is.
I still remember the very first time I saw her. I don't know what it was about her. You know, her blonde, flowing hair, her bright pink dress, her golden tiara. Maybe it was just the relief of seeing her instead of a mushroom telling me that she was in another castle. Whatever it was, the first time I rescued Princess Toadstool marked the starting of a love of video games that continues on with me to this day. My name is John Paul Kozian. And I am a video game geek. Times have changed since the days of Nintendo's NES and Sega Genesis. There are video game systems out there that can handle graphics and sounds a billion times more complex than what was of the early 8 and 16-bit machines. You see, today, the systems can put up some very impressive games. And if you happen to own one of these incredible devices, it's actually considered cool, almost like a status symbol. Back when I was in elementary school, that wasn't the case. I grew up on video games. Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Atari Jaguar, Sega Genesis, Sega CD, and I loved them all. And I thought that everyone did as well. I was wrong. I remember the exact phrase responsible, which classified me with the title of geek. It was lunchtime, and the cafeteria was packed. The previous day, I had purchased a new video game and was eager to share it with my peers. Notice how I said peers and not friends. Hey, Andy, I shouted across the room. You want to come over tonight and play some Nintendo? I got Bionic Commando. It was as if the entire room stopped what they were doing to laugh at me.
One is the loneliest number that you'll ever do. Two can be as bad as one. It's the loneliest number since the number one.
I guess I didn't mind. I mean, video games were there for me in ways that people weren't. No, Princess Zelda never stood me up at prom. Mario's nemesis Bowser never tried to see if my underwear could fit over my head. And as big of a bully as Donkey Kong was, I don't think he would have given me a swirly. Or at least he would have flushed the toilet first. In video games, your partner always has your back, the good guy always gets the girl, and the bad guy gets what's coming to him. It's Nirvana. Let's face it here. 99.9% of us are not going to get a chance to save the world from an alien race, knock the LA Lakers out of the playoffs, and win the Daytona 500 all in one day. With video games, it's all possible. I mean, what could be better than that? Oh, okay, besides sunlight, exercise, and social relationships, but besides that, there's not much. So the next time you fail a class, get dumped, or get your head stuck in a toilet, pick up a controller and save the world. Win a race, or get the girl. You just might like it. For now, hear this. I'm John Paul Kozan, and I am a video game geek.
Hackers. They're everywhere, and I'm not talking about the kind trying to infect your company's website. No, you're under attack from the competition, stifling your research, preventing your career change, stopping you from having your own business or advancing your career. Make the University of Advancing Technology's graduate degree in technology your first line of defense in the fight against life's hackers. The Master of Science in Technology from UAT is unlike any other program around. Focus in customized areas like network security, artificial life programming, game studies, technology management, and e-commerce. UAT's program is accelerated. It offers the flexibility to adapt quickly to changes that come in the high-tech field. It's really about creating thinkers who understand how business works and how to apply the technology. Learn, experience, innovate at the only local private university totally immersed in technology. Click uat.edu. UAT.edu.
We're back. This is the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show with Alon and Ian.
Hello.
And Tracy.
What's up?
Hey. All right. Did I mention earlier that not that much happened this week? Did I say that I had very little to talk about? Is this a surprise to everybody?
Oh, well, it's a couple weeks before E3. Of course, you got nothing to talk about.
You would expect there'd be a lot to talk about.
No, because I think they're trying to keep it more tight-lipped.
All there is in the news right now, aside from a few key things, which we will get to, is the new Xbox. They just keep, the new logo came out. Can you see this logo? It's amazing. Actually, most of them claim that it was built by a three-year-old. The logo's not that amazing. But, like, the news about the new picture of the new Xbox and the new logo and...
I got a picture of a button.
Yeah, the controllers are going to work on the PC on the new operating system. Like, these are all things we already should have known. I'm getting a little bit overloaded and just upset with myself that I care. It's working, though. Like, I even have a friend that I haven't talked to in years, and he made a blog recently. So he pointed me to the blog, and I was reading a little bit of it, and he mentions in there spontaneously that the Xbox 360 is getting his attention, even though he's genetically coded to hate Microsoft, right? He's getting really curious and wants to know and wants to love it, right? The new Xbox. So it's working, this advertising mania that they have with their alternate reality games and stuff, and that's cool. I'm glad. I'm all for people loving video games and stuff, but it's a little nauseating on my part because
I'm not going to care until I see it. Let me see it. Don't show me a picture. Don't show me a part of a picture of a button. I don't care. I want the whole thing.
I guarantee you, when I come back in 3 weeks, from E3, I'll be like, this is going to be the greatest thing ever.
You're going to be the ultimate fanboy.
Yeah.
Microsoft!
Oh, boy, but, hype.
Yeah, one of the things in the news, actually, right now, I forget which analyst it was, but, you know, I talk about stock info here in the video game industry every once in a while, and one of the entertainment analysts was saying that there's all this money going into the industry now and all this hype around gaming technology and everything. So, you know, a lot of stocks are increasing, and the whole tech sector is growing right now. And he's, this analyst, for whatever reason, claims that the video game financial boom isn't going to actually happen until the PS3 comes out in 2006. I don't know why he thinks it won't happen with the Xbox, but I guess I could make some estimates, right? Because competition really throws a lot of this stuff into action. So if the new Xbox comes out with nobody competing against it as the next generation, then maybe it won't kickstart things. But when the PS3 comes out, then there's competition and business starts getting crazier. I don't know. But that's been one of the things in the news lately. They say, you know, don't rest on your laurels yet. You have to still work hard until the PS3 comes out, because that's when everything's going to go crazy. Of course, then you have to actually work harder. But okay, so I'm getting away from that. That's boring. One thing I read, there was a guy in like 2003, and you might get a kick out of this, Ian. He was driving and driving his friend in the car, but I guess he and his friend were both drunk. I don't know. His friend was like, hey, dude, you got to try this thing out. We do this in Grand Theft Auto all the time.
Oh, I see where this is going.
He puts his hand on the driver's leg and like pushes it down on the gas or something. And I don't know exactly what happened. The details are not all together, but basically, the claim is from the guy who's alive that his passenger forced him to drive and try out this maneuver, which resulted in the passenger dying. And anyway, now because
he didn't
touch
a health kit.
Yeah, apparently he didn't get a health kit after the accident. So his friend's dead, and he is somehow acquitted because of his story of saying that, you know, they were trying out this Grand Theft Auto maneuver, and it didn't work. So now he's not going to jail. And it's not because he threw out the name Grand Theft Auto, but it's because he says his friend, you know, forced him to do it. But it's still gaming in the news involving death, which is, they tend to go together these days.
So instead of him going to jail, does this just mean that they're going to start, like, blaming the video game industry for it and then just gore it after Rockstar?
It's just another negative connection to video games, which is why I'm bringing it up.
And we always need more of those.
Yeah, well, I have to go into rehab because of Narc. I've been playing that. And I've
wanted to try that.
Yeah, it's a good game, but I'm going to have to go into rehab now. Because
I do have to point out that I haven't played Grand Theft Auto much, but when I do, and then, you know, like I went out to a restaurant in the evening after I was playing Grand Theft Auto, and I was driving around, there's a bunch of cars everywhere, and you get into the state of mind, you forget that you're driving in real life, and you're just like, I'm just going to go. Screw it, right? I'm going to gun it, because my car can gun it fast enough, right? Because my car in the game could, and it doesn't matter if the cars hit me, it's just a little damage, I'll be fine. I'll park, and then I'll refresh my car, and I'll be great.
I'll jack someone, and I'll be okay, I'll get a new car.
I'll be good. I sit there, and I realize, oh my god, I was just thinking like Grand Theft Auto style, but that's not a Grand Theft Auto car, that's someone's real Audi or whatever coming down the road. So I could sort of understand. Luckily, I don't drive drunk, and that might have actually cleared the situation of all the problems, maybe, if they weren't drunk. They don't seem to focus on that. They focus more on the Grand Theft Auto thing. That was in the Wisconsin State Journal, if anybody wants to search for it. I just found it interesting. Anytime you see something with journal in the title, and video games, it's connecting some sort of death or crime. And, well, I don't know if that necessarily needs to be the focus, but that's what has happened these days.
And soon me into rehab.
Yeah.
We're going to write about that.
Or lawsuits. There's all sorts of lawsuits that they throw into these journals. A lawsuit recently that was settled. You remember Valve? They produced Half-Life 2, right? And all the games based on Half-Life Engine. Well, you know, like Counter-Strike and all those. Not all the games on the Half-Life Engine. Anyway, so they got all upset with Vivendi about how they were distributing their games. We talked about this months ago. So apparently they settled this suit, and now Vivendi is going to be disconnected from anything to do with Valve. But the interesting part of this is that one of the most popular games to play at a LAN cafe, can you guess?
Half-Life 2?
No.
Counter-Strike.
Yes, Counter-Strike.
Yeah.
The thing related to Half-Life 2.
Half-Life 2, not on
I was close.
But Counter-Strike, of course, It's been like the biggest online game in LAN cafes for a long time. Or, you know, I don't. Those aren't hard facts, but you go in there and people are always playing Counter-Strike. So anyway, Vivendi was the company that gave the rights to these LAN cafes to allow them to do this. And they had contracts or whatever saying, you know, you can have the rights to, or the licenses to these games to have them in your cafe and play them, right? So I don't know if money was exchanged, but it probably was in some cases. And so these cafes had agreements, and now the company separated, and they've been given an order saying, hey, you know those agreements that you made? Yeah, not anymore, buddy. So I don't know if Valve is going to try and recreate those and be amicable about the whole thing, but they've been sent notice that their previous license agreements are now null and void, which I find interesting, to say the least.
That would suck.
Right? I mean, yeah, imagine if you're one of the operators of this place. You, for one, you bought all these copies of the game, although Counter-Strike originally was free.
Yeah, the new one came with Half-Life 2. Actually, I hear that if you don't install Counter-Strike when you install Half-Life 2, it won't actually play Half-Life 2.
Really? Yeah, I don't know how true that is.
Yeah, I'm not sure myself. I've just heard this. And I made sure that when I installed Half-Life 2, it had Counter-Strike with it.
Okay. Well, anyway, I just think that's... I hope that they let them do it anyway, because it's silly. Like, back in the day, nobody was getting license agreements. Everyone was happy. And then Vivendi, the Counter-Strike people, at least, I remember, they were, like, some of the only people going after these cafes. I remember, like, Epic, they produce Unreal, and that's another really popular game. They're all about letting these cafes play the games. I mean, they'll even send them free copies of the game because it gets the game into people's awareness. And Vivendi was one of the people creating these contracts and hassling the LAN cafes. And even though they had legitimate copies, right? But having legitimate copies for public use is what created the problem.
Yeah.
So they're all going corporate and accountant style on these cafes. And now, after doing it, oh well, the paperwork's ripped up anyway. And that would just be such a headache for these guys who, you know, those places don't make a lot of money. It's just a guy who wants to make his living off of, you know, being around video games. And that's fair. I want to do it too. So anyway,
yeah,
I hope that doesn't ruin their lifestyle of sitting around in chairs playing games all day for their income. Hopefully they can handle it.
Speaking of Unreal, the new Unreal on Xbox isn't very good.
What?
That's just my opinion.
I've heard only good things about it.
Well, it's there's so... I so would rather play it on the computer, and I'm not a big computer gamer. It's just
a totally different game, man.
Just the, like the taunts and every, it just become, it was just annoying to me. I'm not a big shooter up fan anyways. I don't like first person shooters. I don't like third person shooters. But yeah, I think it's overrated. That's just me though.
All right. Well, everyone that I've spoken to says it's good. Well, actually, wait a minute.
Call in and argue with me.
Yeah. One of my friends said he wasn't so impressed, but then, after he actually got the game, I think he sort of likened to it a little bit, and he likes it a bit more. Yeah, if you want to talk about it, if you have the game, want to tell Tracy that he's dumb. 277KFNX. Anyway, we'll be back after the news. See ya. ChatterboxGameShow.com.
Where else are you going to find a Master of Science program in technology that creates thinkers who understand how business works and how to apply the technology? Where else are you going to discover a graduate degree in technology that is customized to meet your objectives? Where else in the Valley, on campus or online, can you study at the only private university that gives you the opportunity to focus in specialized areas like network security, artificial life programming, and game studies, as well as technology management? Where else? Where else but the University of Advancing Technology? UAT's graduate technology program is accelerated. It combines business with technology. It offers the flexibility to adapt quickly to changes that come in high-tech fields. Feed your brain, lead, manage. You won't find this innovative environment anywhere else. UAT, the select private university where you'll be fully immersed in technology. The experience is unrivaled. Click uat.edu. That's UAT.edu.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. We got about half an hour left. If you want to call in, it's 277-KFNX, area code 602, if you're in the Phoenix area. Also, if you're listening on the internet, you can check out ChatterboxGameShow.com. We've got an 800 number on there to call in with whenever you like. Talk about anything. A question I asked earlier is if you think there was a specific time or game or console or event, anything specific that made gaming acceptable, since it seemed less socially acceptable a decade ago than it is now. And anyway, we touched on that topic at the beginning of the show, and how I think it was basically Madden and Hollywood that did it. But Colin, if you have any opinions on that. Now, there were some things I wanted to talk about. First of all, since I just mentioned media, one of the things I was reading today in the news, right from GameSpot, you know, like the past month or 2 months, whatever, like I was talking about last segment, is that the new Xbox has news all the time, and it's like ad nauseum, apparently. There's just too much news about it. One of the things, the weekly rumor is that it's going to be backwards compatible, which is really like, we've been talking about this for the past 3 months. GameSpot just decides that they're going to make a rumor that's already happened and cover it again, I guess. Or somebody says something else about it, and all of a sudden it's something totally new. Anyway, I want to read you something and see if you can figure out the problem with it. This is what they say on GameSpot. One of the biggest points of speculation is whether or not the device will be backwards compatible, given current generation Xbox games are designed to run with a 40-gigabyte hard drive, and credible photos of the Xbox 360 show it, you know, with an optional hard drive, blah, 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 blah. So they're saying that current generation games are designed to run on a 40-gigabyte hard drive. Now, I'm guessing, Ian, that you don't know the tech specs on the Xbox.
I know it's got a hard drive in it, which
got
means
a hard drive on it.
Now, lack of memory card, which is definitely good.
I would expect, that, of all people, GameSpot would get their facts straight and know that there's no 40-gigabyte hard drive in any Xbox that you buy from a store. It's an 8-gig hard drive, or a 10, but that's rare. Anyway, and it just, I don't understand why I am not working there. Why can't I correct stuff like this? Anyway, that's just a silly thing I noticed in the media, and I'm curious why they can get simple facts like that wrong. Maybe it's because the rumor last week was that there were pictures of the Xbox 2, 360 or whatever it's going to be called, and that it had a 40-gig hard drive on it. So maybe they just confused these facts. Would you have caught that, Tracy, if you read something that said current-gen games run on the 40-gig hard drive?
Yeah, I would have caught that, because
it just doesn't.
It's like an 8 to 10 in the Xbox, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it says right on the box.
Yeah, 8.
Anyway.
Isn't the next Xbox going to be three versions of it, though, where one doesn't have one, and is that rumor
again,
shut down?
Microsoft doesn't comment on speculation. But, yeah, I mean, last week they were saying that someone came out and leaked that there's going to be two versions, one with a hard drive, one without. And now, like, there's constantly rumors building that. So, like, Halo 2.5 is going to be built onto the hard drive, and Web TV is going to be built onto the hard drive if you get that version. And anyway, we won't know. We'll know in a couple weeks, and I'm willing to wait. God knows I'm sick of hearing half-assed rumors. Another one that I wanted to talk about right now is that the weekly rumor on the next Nintendo system. We were just talking about this during break, Ian.
The Nintendo
Revolution, right? They keep saying they're going to have something crazy and new that's going to change gaming, right? And they don't want to talk about it because they don't want people to copy them. And so the thing this week, they're saying that it's going to have some sort of 3D projection.
Okay,
so, like, if you want to, you know, sometimes you can wear glasses in the movie theater, or you can have LCD shutter glasses to make it look 3D. They're saying that the next Nintendo might have something like that. And I'm thinking that there's really no chance of that happening, because there's too many factors. Like, either you'd need to get a whole new television or display device, and that's obviously not happening. Or you'd need to get, like Ian was saying, maybe an overlay on your television.
Yeah, just stick it on there and it makes everything pop out.
But that's bull, because I don't have the same TV size as you have and as you have.
Yeah.
So that's never going to work.
Yeah, you're getting a free one from Microsoft.
Right? Yeah, there's that too. Right? And there's all different types of TVs out there. And it's not going to be glasses, because the whole point is that they want to make... They've been talking about how they want people to be able to step up to this machine and play right off the bat. They want mom to be able to play with their kid and have no resistance to playing. They're trying to break down every barrier they can. So I guarantee you, you're not going to have to wear anything to play this new system. So this whole idea of 3D projection, I claim, is bunk. And when I'm wrong, I'll be happy, because I'll love it if they're doing it. But I am ready to guarantee that they're not. So
just as long as it's not like the Virtual Boy and everything.
Yeah, I was going to bring up
the Virtual Boy. Was awesome, and you guys can all shut up.
Oh, no,
I'm sorry,
like the Virtual
so
Boy. Gunpei Yokoi was the one that designed it, and he's my hero.
Yeah, and then he killed himself.
Yeah, because he took a lot of flack from making the Virtual Boy, because it sucked.
Yeah. And he made the Wonder Swan.
Yeah, this is He didn't make the WonderSwan, did he?
Oh, I thought he was one of the designers. Anyway, no, he designed a lot of stuff.
WonderSwan came out way after the Virtual Boy, and the Virtual Boy guy killed himself. So
because he took so much flack from making the Virtual Boy because it was such a flop.
Here's the thing. This leads perfectly into something else I wanted to talk about today. So ex-president of Nintendo, Yamauchi-san, he, I think, was president like 3 years ago. He left the president's seat just to sit on the board of directors, right? And now he retired from the company altogether. Like this past week, the news broke or something. And traditionally, people who retire from the company with his sort of experience and stuff, they get a pension package. Makes sense. Lots of companies do that. He was due for like, I mean, it's speculative, but, you know, millions of dollars, like $10 million or something. Doesn't really matter how much. The point is, he had this pension package option to him, and he's like, you know what? It would do better in the company, so you can keep your money. I'm not going to take it. And I just like, this is why America sucks. No one in America would do that. No one would think of their company first. Everyone will always be about themselves, to the point that they screw over not only, you know, their company and their coworkers, but like the entire body of shareholders, and then go to jail for it, right? Enron style. You don't see CEOs in America giving back $10 million.
Well, it makes me happy to hear this. That's wow. Yeah. That's
now,
really noble.
This is honor. And the guy who killed himself because of the Virtual Boy, that was an honor thing.
He was dishonored, so he.
By the way, it's not official that he killed himself.
No, actually, I've heard that he got hit by a car because he was.
Yeah.
He got out to check the damage to the car he was in, and then another car hit him.
Yeah, he walked into traffic on purpose. I don't know how to prove it to you, but he did. And I have talked to people who have a little more to say about it. But anyway, let's just say it's theory. I'm crazy conspiracy theory guy, and I don't know what I'm talking about, but. Yeah, he walked into traffic to kill himself because he felt bad.
When I retire, I get my $1.50 for the show, right?
Yeah. So, Yamauchi is leaving and giving back, or not taking the $10 million, and I think that's great. And it's not because he did anything wrong, right? The company's doing fine. So he's not feeling bad. He's not doing it to, like, you know, instead of killing himself, just give back some money, right? He did a good job, and everybody loves him. He's just not taking it. And that's cool. That's fly. And you know why? Because he probably has tons of money anyway. And he doesn't need any more, so I'm happy to see some honor in my industry.
I wonder if he has stock in the company, though. That
oh,
he
yeah,
doesn't
he still
want.
Has, like, some huge amount of stock.
So maybe that $10 million, he's like, well, you guys keep it, because then the stock will go up, and I can get more in the long run.
Well,
that's the conspiracy
theory. I don't know if he's really
me.
Planning to get more for himself, but certainly he feels content. And that's my point. People in America now, there's no contentness anymore. We've always got to have more. I, for instance, would love to own an island. I don't have one right now, but it would be neat. So if I could get a lot of money, I would do that. I would go buy an island.
We can make one for you in your backyard.
Oh, my God. That's another dream of mine, to build a floating city. Let's not talk about that.
A floating city.
Oh, boy. That's our, way off topic.
Can I come to visit? City? That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Dude, everyone would be invited.
Sounds like Midgar from Final Fantasy VII, just like a big building up in the sky, just kind of floating there.
I wasn't thinking sky, more sea, but... Anyway.
Oh, yeah, floating. Okay, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm going way too into the surreal.
That's sci-fi. I'm thinking something that's possible. All right, so anyway, back on to topic here, video games.
Not
man,
city
I've almost run out of them and stuff to talk about. Turner Broadcasting, you know, they do TBS. They are doing this new thing called GameTap. I don't know if it's called GameTap Online. I think it's just GameTap. So we've all used emulators in the past, and you can download ROMs to run old arcade games and old Super Nintendo games and whatever, and we've talked about how the Xbox can do that too. So Turner Broadcasting is creating GameTap to pretty much legitimize this whole process. Unfortunately, I'm sure it's going to be a crappy software that they put out, like some hacked-together version of MAME or whatever other emulators, but at least like it's an effort in what I would claim is a good direction. At least to get it out there legally. I guess they made deals with like 17 different developers or rights holders or whatever, and they're going to start with 300 games that you can download. It's going to start with more nostalgia stuff, you know, the Pac-Man and Frogger and all that jazz.
That's pretty cool. Honestly, 16-bit stuff.
Yeah, but it's a subscription service, you know, like Napster or whatever, you pay so many a month, but it's not going to go away. It's not like the old Sega channel where you get so many games per month.
I miss
it's
that.
A different lineup. They're just going to keep adding on more games, so you always have access to this library that will never shrink, only grow. We can talk more about this when we come back. We'll be back in just a minute after these messages. This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio. on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100.
Hackers. They're everywhere, and I'm not talking about the kind trying to infect your company's website. No, you're under attack from the competition, stifling your research, preventing your career change, stopping you from having your own business or advancing your career. Make the University of Advancing Technology's graduate degree in technology your first line of defense in the fight against life's hackers. The Master of Science in Technology from UAT is unlike any other program around. Focus in customized areas like network security, artificial life programming, game studies, technology management, and e-commerce. UAT's program is accelerated. It offers the flexibility to adapt quickly to changes that come in the high-tech field. It's really about creating thinkers who understand how business works and how to apply the technology. Learn, experience, innovate at the only local private university totally immersed in technology. Click uat.edu. UAT.edu.
We're back. Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show on KFNX News Talk Radio. Remember, check out chatterboxgameshow.com if you want to learn more about our show. Call us, 602-277-KFNX. We also have an 800 number online. If you're listening over the internet, a lot of people might be listening through our podcast as well, which is something you can do now. Download our shows to listen to later because we're that awesome that you want to listen to it over and over.
Woo-woo!
Yeah. Anyway, so I've got a couple more things to talk about today. But before I get into that, I want to remind everyone that if they're interested in becoming part of the video game industry, they should visit uat.edu, University of Advancing Technology, right here in Tempe, Arizona, although technically we're in Phoenix right now. Anyway, Tempe, Arizona, UAT, for becoming part of the industry. Well, go there.
That's where I'm going.
All right. Also, thank you, Blockbuster, for letting me rent games. All right. So, some other stuff that's been going on. There really isn't that much, but last week, something that I didn't get to talk about because we had that interview with Mr. Keen from AGEA. There's this big, I don't know how big it is, really, but there's a fight going on, like, blog style, between Sony and this guy from Mythic, Mythic Entertainment. So Sony, after like banning people from EverQuest for selling stuff online, and EverQuest, I don't know if it really started it, but I have the impression that EverQuest was where the online auctions for real live money through gaming, I think that's where it all started. At least that's where the media about it all started. And Sony is now accepting it. And not only accepting it, but creating an in-game auction site for these things. An in-game auction site which relates to real U.S. currency and probably other currencies, right? But real money in exchange for these gaming items. And they're like, you know, we want to give the people what they want. We're going to do it in a sanctioned way. And so it'll be safer for the consumer, you know, because they can develop a system where if I want to put this item for sale, I put it up for sale and it's actually there. I don't have to meet the guy in the game world. The person who buys it just has access to it. There's no cheating. You know, you don't tell them you're going to sell it and then don't give it to them, that sort of thing. So on one hand, I can see this is good. Sort of legitimizes the whole thing. Have you ever bought or sold stuff for real money about online games, Ian?
Never have.
No, but I know you're a WoW fan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been playing for a while.
So here's the thing. The guy from Mythic Entertainment, and man, I can't remember the game that they make. It's another popular MMO. He says, that's ridiculous. And he has some very good points, which completely overrule anything Sony has to say, at least in my opinion. The issue here is that there are all sorts of problems that could exist. Like, for instance, EverQuest recently reduced the numbers of servers that they had, or games do, like World of Warcraft, always having server issues.
They're adding new servers all the time.
Yeah, they're having to add servers. Other games have to bring like several servers, bring them all down to a single server. All sorts of different things. Now, the issue is like the sort of whatever is valuable in this particular server in this particular game because it's rare, right? There's only so many of them, and it has whatever powers associated with it. I feel cheesy just talking about this because of how ridiculous it is. But for whatever reason, people are willing to pay actual money for these game objects. And the problem here is, what happens when I pay $1,000 for some silly sword, and then my server gets dropped, and I have to take my sword to another server where it's either no longer rare, no longer powerful, no longer useful at all. What if something happens during the auction process or after the auction process where I lose something or if I get banned? If they want to ban me, right? I paid $1,000 for a sword. Screw you, you can't ban me. I've got money in this. Plus, it's going to produce a lot of people who have jobs. Their job is to farm and stuff, which is going to take away from the actual gameplay for the people who are there for the game.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, is that you will have like people that are professional EverQuest players that they just quit their job and just get a lot of stuff and sell it.
I would be advertising right now for gaming lawsuits, because people are going to be farming, and there's going to be lawyers farming for this stuff too, because Sony is going to get their butt sued so many ways. It's ridiculous, because there are going to be problems and there's going to be issues that come up. And I mean, I don't know if there's already been lawsuits to the companies when they haven't sold stuff, but as soon as they do and people start making a living off of this stuff and start losing real money, it's going to kick them in the butt. And that's one of the things that this guy has to say, but he has a lot more to say. That it just, a game is about gameplay, and when you introduce this real life money into it, that it's going to create these problems, because now you're going to have a whole bunch of people playing and not for the reason, you know, that they want to enjoy themselves and play a game, that they're taken over by the financial aspect of it. Like, did you ever play Magic?
Yeah, the card game?
Yeah, did you ever play it for money?
I never won any money, but I went into tournaments.
All right, yeah. This is a game that I also managed to avoid. Apparently, I was low on the geek radar. I always say that I felt like a nerd growing up, but there's a lot of things I managed to avoid pretty well.
Yeah, Magic just kind of like ran up to me and like forced me to play. It was like crack, but
yeah,
in card form.
Yeah, I tried it once because I had a friend who was into it, but that was about it. Anyway, so like, there are these people like, oh yeah, I play Magic, but it's cool, man, because I've made like $500 playing that game. And so it's all financial and it's not about gameplay. And of course, games should be about gameplay, given that that's what they're all about. And so Sony is ultimately going to be kicking themselves in the butt. But, you know, you can thank Howard Stringer, or whatever his name is, the new head of everything Sony, for trying to take Sony in a new direction, or a consolidated direction, to make money. I'm sure that's what the effort is all about. And anyway, the guy from Mythic, he's got a good head on his shoulders. He's absolutely right. They're going to still not be into this whole auctioning of things in their games. And I'll bet you, too, Sony is going to ban people for doing this outside of their own auction system, which is also ridiculous. Do you agree?
Yeah. Seriously, there should have people that are just hunting people down on eBay and stuff and be like, yeah, I'll buy your 10,000 pieces for $10, and then as soon as you meet with them, ban the entire account.
Yeah. Well, they have, in the past, they've banned stuff for this economy that they're creating. They've banned for that, and I don't know the details over it, but they have, and now they're accepting it and saying it's okay. So first of all, how do you go back and tell those players who were doing what you're doing now that you were wrong before, but we're not going to give you your account back or give you money back for the account that you lost and paid for? Before it even starts, there's lawsuits I'm ready to hear about. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Anyway.
People sue in advance?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, wait a minute.
I will lose money on this.
Now you say it's okay. You got to give me my $20 back for my month that I lost because you banned me. It's absurd.
And all the stuff that I could have earned while you banned me. So if I was banned for 3 months and I was making $1,000 a month, you now owe me $3,000.
That's right. Potential income. Opportunity costs, man. Oh, boy. I could go on forever about this. And
man, I should get an EverQuest.
Yeah, I'm going to need to because I don't have anything else to talk about today. Anyway, next week we are going to be playing a rerun from last week's show, which was when we had Andy Keen on from Aegea. That's the company that's creating the new physics coprocessor, the PhysX chip, which when you hear this interview next week, you'll hear how excited I am about it, because I think it's the next big thing. And I've been thinking this for the past year, and you've heard me say it repeatedly, that physics are like the next big evolution in gaming. And so what's going to happen is, these next consoles that we have, like the next year or so, it's going to be the first step. They're going to have a lot of physics, but it's not going to be like built in. It's not going to be a major part of the system. And then the system after this next generation is going to be all about physics, just like...
Sweet.
Yeah. Well, I see this as a very specific cycle that happens over and over. Nintendo's all about, okay, we've got some good games and they're 2D. Super Nintendo, like, epitomized the 2D gaming. They did a really good job.
Oh, yeah.
Although really Saturn did a better job, but... they did a much better job. And then they moved into 3D with the PlayStation, right? But they did much better with 3D in the current gen systems. So the next ones coming out, I think, are going to finally take advantage of physics, but not be built for it. They're going to realize that the next generation needs to be built for it, and then you'll see. And then we'll find some new evolution. I don't know. Maybe it's that 3D projection stuff.
So we'll be looking forward to moon physics.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I don't know. But they're definitely the next big thing. And if you missed the interview last week, you should listen next week, because we'll be replaying it. Also, you heard that clip today that we played, and I am looking for an audio specialist to create pre-recorded audio content. I'd like to do like an audio comic, like Penny Arcade. If you're a fan of PennyArcade.com, contact me if you want to produce an audio version of that sort of thing, because I think it would be a great addition to the show. Anyway, thank you, Tracy, and thank you, Ian, for coming in. You'll hear more from Ian in the future, and you know, maybe Sean will show up once in a while too. I lose hosts like, I don't know, like I lose my keys. They don't want to stick around. Anyway.
We hide in your couch.
Yeah, we'll be back next week. Make sure you check out ChatterboxGameshow.com to stay updated. See ya.